We're back, episode 27. Because before we get into what movie this is, who's with us, bud?
Well, you know him from the Bourbon Boys podcast, which will be world famous next summer. But this is Malt Liquor. He's a plank
Hey.
owner. He's been here since forever, and he is our guest, and he chose Malt.
Unforgiven, the greatest Western of all time. Western of all time.
Wow, the greatest Western of all. Man, we got to get into that one.
No doubt.
Wow. Hey, yo. That's correct. Unforgiven, greatest Western of all time. Debatable. We'll debate it. But before we get into any of that, Malt, since you're the guest, what you drinking, bud?
I have to drink some bourbon whiskey, so I'm drinking some Buffalo Trace.
Yes. Cuz, what
Not
you got in here? Oh, go ahead.
neat though. I don't want to puke, so.
Oh, well, all right. I guess we're not as tough as Clint Eastwood.
No.
Cuz, what do you got, bud?
Dude, malt liquor stole my thunder 100%. I am also drinking Buffalo Trace on the rocks. Because I watched this movie for the second time. Like, I kind of put it on today, and the scene where he's just chugging whiskey after he's talking to the Schofield kid, I was like, God, I want some bourbon tonight. But yeah, if I was drinking it out of the bottle, lukewarm or hot, rather. Ooh, doggy.
Yeah,
I
so
mean that might turn me into a mass murderer, you know?
Women, children, animals.
Right.
So I don't think of these things, or they don't come to me. I don't, I don't recognize that I probably should have some type of bourbon in my hand, or at the least bit scotch. So I'm just drinking a Michelob Light, but I'll switch. I got a light day tomorrow. I'm thinking about taking a half day and hitting the links. I don't know. Probably not, but we'll see. We'll see. I may have to wrap up some other projects I'm working on. But anyhow, as Malt said, Unforgiven, 1992, directed and starring Clint Eastwood.
The man.
The man still alive. Still alive. Gene Hackman, Morgan Freeman, Richard Harris, Francis. We'll get into that a little bit later. We might get into this. Yes, we will. This movie won four Oscars. I don't think because we that's won an Oscar. Have we? This one's got four.
Did Jaws win one?
Maybe.
Probably for
Yeah.
like score, right? Had to win it
Yeah.
for score.
Could be.
But that's not like a what they call the big Oscars.
No,
This
definitely not one for the top. Yeah.
one won, I think, best picture, best director, and best
Supporting.
supporting actor, and I think cinematography
Best
and
film editing.
editing. Okay.
Yeah.
That's up there.
Yeah. But no, phenomenal cast, won some Oscars, all that. One other little tidbit I want to mention before we start sending it around the room. This was Eastwood's farewell to the Western genre. Basically, it closed the book on the man with no name archetype that made him famous. So, although he did kind of copy this, and we may get in this too, he copied this films later on, similar in get not plot, but I don't know the word coming to me. But anyhow, let's talk about the first time we've ever seen this movie. Vault, man, what tell us.
So this is a crazy story. I mean, as crazy as it can get when you're 13. So my grandmother and my uncle, the Catholic priest, were visiting, and so I whatever, the idea was to go rent a movie, and so they picked out Unforgiven. And my grandmother, God rest her soul, sweet woman, not one for the R-rated flicks, if you know what I mean. And so this, the opening scene cuts on. She starts crying.
No.
So,
In the
yeah.
whorehouse? Okay. Sorry, the billiards room. The billiards room. Yeah.
So the movie was stopped and we didn't watch it. And honestly, I don't remember the next time I watched it. It wasn't that weekend, I can tell you that. I must have watched it probably a few years after that as like a older teenager or maybe even in college.
What about you, cuz?
Yeah, I saw this after the theaters. I definitely rented it, probably with good old former bourbon boy Larry Orkestorf. We used to go to Blockbuster date like almost daily, I feel like, in high school. You know, it's funny, like, and you know, we'll get into how we feel about this movie, but like I really enjoyed it the first time, but like it was it I hadn't seen it. You know, I've maybe seen it like two or so, three times since then. I mean, this is not one of those movies I've rewatched a number of times. So this last time I watched it, I got way more out of it. So I don't want to like say I didn't like it the first time. I really appreciated the acting and the freaking the story and, you know, and all that shit and the settings and all that. But it wasn't, I mean, it was a little mature for when I saw it the first time. You know what I mean? The movie was a little too mature for me when I saw it the first time. 'Cause I grew up watching the man with, as you mentioned, the Man with No Name movies. Like this is great. I love it. This is a great movie all around, you know, like I mean some fucking Western that won Best Picture. It's like, I mean, not many of those out there. But like I still like The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly better just because how epic that movie is. But this is for the story, for this like encapsulated story and the cinematography and the music and the acting and the, you know, and also, I mean, these guys were stars then, but I mean, their stars have like exploded, you know, like, I mean, they were great and they were very, very, very psychotically famous then. But now, I mean, golly, you're talking Morgan Freeman, Gene Hackman. And obviously Clint. This is I mean I so yeah to answer your question, I don't know, high school. What about you?
I honestly don't remember. I know it had to have been not long. I didn't see it in the theater. So it must have come out, or I must have seen it, I don't know when it was, at Blockbuster or something. Like I don't know, but I feel like high school would probably been right about when I saw it, early years in high school. But it didn't impact on me, or I wasn't like, man, like this movie is just unbelievable. I think it was just in I don't know if we now nah, we'll go over this later, but it just I think my age and my maturity at the time wasn't right for me to appreciate this movie when I first saw it. That's probably what I'll say about it when I first saw it. But yeah, so.
So the thing I would add, I totally agree. I think the more you watch it, the more you like it. I think, especially watching it in anticipation of this, I was noticing things that I hadn't noticed before. I think it was probably the first real Western that I think I ever saw. My parents were pretty strict about like movies we were allowed to watch. I guess because my dad grew up with his mom crying at the side drop of a hat, but yeah, I think it'd be rare to, I don't think anyone who watched it as a 13, 12, 13-year-old would have walked out of it saying, "Oh my God, that's the best movie I've ever seen," you know? It's just, it's got a look, it's very different, but anyway, yeah.
Let me say, like, I went to a concert a couple of years ago at the Mahaffey Theater. It was Ben Folds. I don't know if y'all are familiar with him. But like I've got a handful of songs that I really like of his. He didn't play.
She's a brick.
Yeah. But he didn't play one of them until his encore. And like the second or third song of his encore that he finally played a song I had heard of, right? And I'm equating to this because the last time I saw this movie, or the first time I saw this movie rather, the ending is so freaking awesome. The way he just goes in there and just blows everybody away and avenges Ned and stuff like that. And like that is like the scene that stuck out the most, of course, because not only was it the end, but it was the most action packed. And so yeah, I mean, I walked out going, you know, because I remember I was joking with my wife, we're walking out of the theater and or the Mahaffey, and I go, man, that was a great concert. You know, like the guy plays one song I've heard of. It just happened to be the last song there. And I was like, that is exactly, I think, how I felt about this. I was like, yeah, good movie, you know. Whereas I don't remember like 50% of the movie from when I watched it the first time. I remember the beginning, a little bit in the middle, and I definitely remember the end. So yeah, I agree. This movie was way over my head, but you know, I'm so glad we're doing this. So thank you, Malt, for choosing it because my appreciation for it has skyrocketed.
So, Malt, get any, I guess we call them hot takes. Got some opinions that you want to get out there at the beginning?
I mean, I think I animated sooner. I should probably moderate a little bit because I have not seen every Western that I want to see. I think I trail you guys in kind of the volume of movies I watch. But it's the best Western I've seen. I'll put it that way. And maybe it's because it's the first one I remember seeing. Maybe it's because it's my favorite Clint Eastwood movie. Maybe it's because it has like three or four, I mean, three of my favorite American actors, certainly. And I mean, Richard Harris is an Irish icon. Other than maybe Daniel Day-Lewis, he might be best. But yeah, I mean, I think, and I think the, like I mentioned soon or earlier, the more I watch it, the more I like it. And I think it overcame what I would call the one flaw is the actor who played the Schofield kid. Now, I was a little more charitable on this watch because maybe I think he's supposed to be annoying, but I found him to be incredibly annoying. And I think it's telling that no one knows his name. Every retrospective little YouTube video I watch, it's not, no, none of the ones I watched ripped him, but none of them praised. It was like he didn't exist, or certainly that the actor didn't exist. I mean, the character's central to the entire plot, but I think he was a little bit of a weak link. But yeah, I mean, I think it's still my favorite Western that I've seen.
Any rebuttals there, cuz?
No, actually, I totally agree with your comment about the Scofield kid. As I turned it on for this rewatch, I was like, oh God, I remember how much I did not like this kid. And I definitely, at first, I was, I don't know, did you say that you were more charitable this time? I definitely like
For him,
thought,
yes.
yeah, for him, yeah. I definitely like at first thought, oh God, he's terrible. And then I was like, well, he's just incredibly immature. He's playing it that way. His voice was kind of annoying. He kind of reminded me of like Ricky Schroeder going through puberty from Silver Spoons. But like towards the end, when he was like, you know, like
He
going
was
through
great.
it.
He was great in that scene. That,
Yes.
I mean, that's, yeah.
And that's like, again, you know, I don't want to say recency bias again is, but his last scene in the movie. And then I read somewhere that in the script, he ended up drowning himself because of guilt. So it's like, I mean, you could tell that guy was struggling, that character, I mean, you know. And so yeah, I totally agree with that. And you said something about like the it was your favorite because of, you know, you oh, right. Like something that I think we'll bring up, of course, but like it overcame, it also overcame like the biases against Westerns, because you know, to win Best Picture, I think it's just was is a huge coup. Now, I mean, I don't know what the I'm sure if it came out today, it would just get killed in the media for a number of reasons I don't need to get into, but the you know, that, I mean, it was like, it was the second quote West. I mean, I guess you'd call Dances, I mean, you have to call Dances with Wolves a Western. But it that also won Best Picture a couple of years earlier. And so, you know, that was a, I mean, talk about a time to be alive. I mean, did you watch the movies? Did you see the movies that were up for Academy that year? The Crying
No.
Game, fine, but like Scent of a Woman was up there, and A Few Good Men. And
Yes.
this, and like two others, or one or two others that were just like 5 stars. I mean, that was a year, man. And so, you know, I think it had a lot to do with Clint Eastwood and their appreciation for him, because he was the producer that, you know, that accepted the award is how I guess they used to do it, or they still do it. I don't know who accepts wards, but anyways, no, I totally agree with what you're saying. I happen to, like I said, I happen to be, I'm very partial to spaghetti westerns, where Clint got his start in westerns. So, you know, Sergio Leone. So that's why, and I've got nostalgic feelings towards those. But this is an outstanding movie overall and a great Western.
Yeah, so it really kills me how slow it is at the beginning, but I get it. I understand it.
Yeah.
It's you have to set that tone, right? Like this is a guy who was a mass murderer, right? A killer turned pig farmer. So you have to they have to build all that up, and they have to build of how you know he's kind of I don't want to call him weak, right? But they kind of do make him a little bit weak, right? He gets sick and everything on the journey
Yeah.
to was it Big Whiskey, right? Big Whiskey? Is that the
Oh
name
yeah.
of the city?
From Kansas to Big Whiskey. Yeah, well
Yeah.
he I mean he they show him, falling down with the pigs. He gets out
Yep.
his pistol and tries to shoot the coffee can and misses it. He can't even freaking mount his horse.
Mount his horse, yeah.
So they're definitely showing him as a guy that's out of practice, you know.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, and so you kind of have to build all that. And then, you know, I mean, I think those early scenes with Clint Eastwood were slow. I think the scenes in Big Whiskey were appropriate. Like I liked them. I liked all of them. It may be because I like Gene Hackman more than I like Clint Eastwood. I love Gene Hackman. I fucking love Gene Hackman. And we'll get into that in a minute, but yeah, I would say that for me that was like the only bad thing. I also not a big fan of the Schofield kid. He one hit wonder, right? I think we all agree on that. This was his one
Yes.
hit. So,
He looks familiar, but I can't place him.
it's Ricky. He looks like Ricky Schroeder.
Yeah.
He looks like fuck. When you said that, I'm like, that's. I was like, who does he look like? There you
Trying
go.
to put on a southern accent.
Yeah,
Yeah.
yeah. And it's not even Rick Schroeder. He looks like it's Ricky Schroeder. Yeah.
So he was in White Fang, the TV series, which I did not watch. And I guess he was a cop in Dead Presidents, like a that was what a John Singleton film, or
Yeah. Yep.
missed it.
Yeah. But for it, best Western I've ever seen, it's in my top 10, top five I've ever seen. I don't know. Like I'm kind of partial to Costner and his Westerns. I was a big fan of Wyatt Earp and I also like, I mean, just Tombstone. That's,
Yeah.
I love that fucking movie. What other Westerns are there? Open Range. If Open Range is on, I'm watching it. There was probably a time in my life where I watched that like every week. I don't know why, but I just did. Big fan of that. But yeah, and of course, I mean, Deadwood, but that was a series that turned into a movie. Kind of. The movie
Yeah.
wrapped it up. But yeah, so not that this isn't good. This is a very, very good movie. I really like it. And we'll also get into that later. But I wouldn't put it as favorite all time, best all time. Anyhow.
Actually, I have a question for you. Speaking of hot takes, I mean, this is kind of like, what did y'all think of the fact that he was like an anti-hero? Like, he's the guy we're following around and rooting for, but he's a bad guy who does bad things, you know, sure. And then he had a noble purpose at the very, very end. I mean, he had a noble purpose throughout the whole movie, but, you know, he's the way they described him was not favorable. I mean, like, did that register at all with y'all, or were y'all just like, oh, it's Clint Eastwood, fucking rooting for him kind of thing?
No, it did. I mean, I think part of, and as I watch it, it's sort of an inversion of the Western where
Yeah.
it's slower. There's no loud music. There's no, nothing really in your face, but everyone is sort of doing bad things. Like a lot of them think they're doing it for the right reasons, right? Obviously, Quick Mike and his little dong who cut the woman up or cut the whore up. Obviously that, the inciting incident, right? But, the whores put out a hit on two guys, one of whom tried to stop it, although he helped at the beginning, but tried to stop it. Yeah, Gene Hack, and but they're doing it from their perspective is that, well, they didn't get justice,
Right.
right? Well, justice isn't killing two guys. You know, she didn't, they
Exactly.
didn't kill her. Gene Hackman is a sadist and a bully, but I think part of him doesn't want a bunch of bounty hunters and murderers coming into his town.
Right.
Yep.
He
Clint
even says
East,
that.
the Clint, I mean, Clint Eastwood needs money to help his buddy. You know, it's not like he's putting a hit on a, you know, choir boy. And Ned too. I mean, so it's interesting. But yeah, I think you're right, cuz that it's certainly kind of an anti-hero. And some of the stuff I've read was that it was purposeful by Eastwood in that he actually found this screenplay in like the late 60s and was like, I'm playing this. But he had to wait until he was old enough to play it, and he purposely wanted it to be his last Western to kind of basically eliminate any sort of like glamorization of violence.
Dude, and how real it was too.
Yeah.
Like it was not a like you said, it was not glamorous.
Guys are like, it's clumsy fight, you know, clumsy firefights and you know, people firing randomly and all that shit. So yeah, I think that was sort of purposeful.
Yeah, and you know what you just said there, Mal. I was gonna bring it up later, but I'll talk about it now. Like it wasn't the early 60s, it was the early or the late 60s or early 80s, written by the screenplay anyway, and it was written by Peoples, who also wrote Blade Runner. But everything else you said about that was he wanted old enough to play money. And another part of this, which I guess you know, next we're going into casting anyway, so I'll say this. Gene Hackman originally turned this film down because of the violence, which is kind of weird to me because he was in some pretty violent fucking movies before this. But Eastwood convinced him, saying that it's an anti-violence message, you know. And I think once we get into some other parts too, we can talk more about that. Just the violence or lack thereof. But yeah, absolutely. You guys want to move on to casting,
Yeah, definitely.
or you got any other
Yes.
hot takes? All right. Cast. So we read them off a little bit. You know, you got Gene Hackman, Morgan Freeman, Richard Harris, Francis Fisher, and of course the iconic, well, Gene Hackman's more iconic, I think, but Clint Eastwood. So I know that's up for debate. Probably Eastwood's more iconic than Gene Hackman, but there you have it. So, cuz thoughts on cast.
I don't think it could have been better. And I watched a couple clips on YouTube to kind of deep dive a little in the movie. Just I wanted other people's opinions. And this one guy was like, he was very complimentary, but he said something about the running time and how the parts where English Bob could have gotten cut because they're fairly inconsequential. And I was just like, I was totally against that idea. I don't care how it wasn't inconsequential. I mean, you needed to like literally see how little Bill was going to treat a bounty hunter coming in. And then that opened the door to WW Beauchamp being there because he was almost like a narrator, like not narrator, but you know how like in Homer's or I don't know if it's mythology or like Homer's epics, how they have somebody kind of guiding you a little bit and
He's
where you
the audience stand-in.
the audience. Yeah, I mean that's
Yeah.
kind of what I'm getting at. It's like he is not a gunfighter. He pissed his pants when he had a gun pointed at him. Like I don't care how tough we all act, we would probably be more like the Schofield Kid or Beauchamp in the Old West than we would like anybody else, you know. I feel like
Speak for yourself.
now I obviously I don't think I'd be. Yeah, that's true. I mean, you've had more experience, I guess, with that situation, toughness. But it wasn't, again, going back to my point from before, this was not a glamorous view of the Old West where everybody shot hits and all that stuff. And so, yeah, my point is that, Richard Harris's role was not only epic, but it was very important. And so, he was an kind of an unsung hero in this movie. I mean, star rather, unsung star. Loved Morgan Freeman. Now, I mean, he had done a lot of stuff. He was very famous, but this role he took was so, I don't, I mean, I don't even know how to describe it. Not second, I mean, it was secondary, but, and then the way he went out, very violently and very reminiscent of, slavery, which was crazy to me. Like, 'cause it didn't, I mean, they never used the N word. They never like made it seem like it was happening because he was black, but it was just a lot of callbacks, and he was in Glory, where that was, like that happened to Denzel Washington's character getting whipped. And it was, I mean, it's brutal. And like, we're watching this from a, very modern lens, watching like a black guy get bullwhipped like that or whipped. And it's just like, God, you got to turn away almost, because we're just a couple years away from the Civil War and slavery, and it, but it didn't seem like Little Bill was doing it out of racism. He was just doing it because he's, like you said, a sadist, but also a guy who wanted to, send a message to any other, folks coming in. Because earlier in the movie, he beat the shit out of Richard Harris. So, anyways, so, but and I do love your, I mean, we're talking about the cast here. I love the older whore. I thought she was so awesome. She's totally my type. And
Strawberry Mary.
Strawberry Mary, yeah, huge fan. And I am a tremendously huge fan of Clint Eastwood. I don't know if there's a time to bring this up, but he directed and starred in a movie called Absolute Power in the mid-90s. I don't know if y'all saw that, where he played a cat burglar. It had a very similar kind of slow, methodical pacing to the movie, just like this. And he, and it had some real delicate music as well. So, anyways, I'm a huge fan of Clint Eastwood. Gene Hackman obviously is, there's no reason not, there's no, I mean, there's nothing you can't say about that guy. He's an incredible actor. Love his catalog. And he played Little Bill incredibly well. I started sympathizing with him a little bit, and then he would go and do something that I, took me off that train.
Right. What about you, Malt?
Yeah, I mean, so I mean, Eastwood was born to play this role. He's not like, he doesn't have the range as an actor of Freeman or Hackman or Harris. I think what was interesting, and what he definitely could convince you that, it was interesting, because it's like, he's like, this is, I'm not who I am anymore. Your mother cured me of whiskey and wickedness, and he must have said that six times. And it's like, dude, are you trying to convince them, or are you trying to convince yourself?
No,
And
definitely the latter.
I think it was definitely the latter. I think Hackman showed more range, but he had the ability to show more range. And like you, cuz, it was like he could be very charming, very gregarious, and he's telling the stories about the Duck of Doom, and then when he plays the trick with the gun, and but then also very vicious. But at the same time, you could tell that he felt, like I said earlier, he thought he was doing the morally right thing. Harris was just, I think, really funny. And what I noticed on the second time was just kind of like, oh wait, so there's this reputation that Lil, or that that Will has, because the Schofield kid comes over, and he's like, my uncle said you killed two marshals, and he's always constantly trying to downplay it. And you even have like Morgan Freeman about, like, didn't you kill three marshals in single combat? And then you have little, or English Bob, basically, just the total showman, playing up all these stories. He has Beauchamp embellishing all these stories. And I think it was sort of showing that there's like the juxtaposition of this guy building this fake legend, whereas money had like the downplaying of like the real legend, but he didn't want, it was like a nightmare. And you have the bright-eyed kid who's like so in awe, he has to pretend to be a gunslinger. And then as soon as he shoots someone, he's like, holy shit, this is fucking too
Yeah.
real for me. So I thought that's something that I noticed, because I just kind of thought the English Bob stuff was like kind of just fun banter, you know? And I realized, because there's even like mold, so that when he gets beat up in jail and then leaves and starts cursing everybody, and then as that's when Will, the Schofield kid, and Ned ride into town, and the train passes, and Will sees English Bob up against the fucking window. I'm like, okay, there's definitely something behind that. And then I guess finally Freeman, I thought, was great, as he always is. He was kind of the moral center of it,
Oh, yeah.
because he actually didn't want to do it, was reluctant, and then kind of, I guess, sort of got drug into it. And then when it came to town to do it, he couldn't do it.
Right.
And I honestly thought that scene, it's not my favorite scene, but I think his job in that scene is the best, I think, 2 minutes of anyone in that film. I also thought Eastwood was great too, because you could tell he was like, and he's like, give him some goddamn water, you
Oh
know?
God, yeah. The canyon scene, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, where he kills the one kid. Yeah.
That was so real too. That's another example of like these movies being theoretically, I guess, real, realer, not glamorous and all that shit. It's like the kid got in the gut, was dying, and everybody kept missing too. I mean, like I think there was
I'm
obviously the
thirsty, Slim. I'm thirsty.
I know. And that's the kid that like, didn't, I mean, he tried to like do right by the girl in a sense.
Gave him the best pony that he had.
Yeah. And he got runned off and
Yeah.
How about them? They speak for Delilah. Maybe Delilah wanted the pony.
It seemed like she Delilah seemed like, okay, like he's trying to make amends.
Right.
I don't have, I mean, she'd said nothing, but from her facial, that's kind of,
And they start melting them with fucking cow pies, So who was, so Strawberry Mary, was that your favorite of the whores?
Yes.
As far as looking, acting, or both?
Well, all together, I think. I mean, she still had it together. She was like the matron of them all, and she still was put together. I mean, she probably had more diseases than any of them, but.
Well, no, she was always rubbing herself with like turpentine or whatever.
Right.
So my favorite looking one was Little Sue. She's
That's
the
the blonde,
one.
right?
No, she's the one that ran out, that rode out, and
Oh.
told them they killed Ned. She always
To
seemed
give
like
him the
she
money.
always seemed like she was on the verge of like crying.
Yes.
Maybe that says something about me, but
That says a lot about you. Yeah, she was
I
fucking. Ugh.
didn't know. I just thought she was the cutest, but I thought that, and the actress who played Delilah did a good job.
Oh, she was outstanding.
I don't know what else she's been in, but
She was in Bad Boys,
okay.
the first one. And I think that's like her only real other movie. She
Yeah,
was
maybe.
the one giving out inside information. But no, I agree with the Richard Harris part. I'm glad they didn't cut it out there, because I mean, that was because you know what Clint Eastwood is, I think, right? Just because of what they're telling you. You don't know what little Bill is, right? You know he's a sheriff, you know he's tough as shit, but you didn't know he was sadistic until English Bob showed up.
Yeah, and it was
So,
like one of those moments where you're just like, enough, enough, and he's beating the shit out of this old guy. Oh, shit.
but obviously, huge Gene Hackman fan. I can't think of a role that I didn't like him in. It's just like, man, Gene Hackman, he's just fucking unbelievable.
I mean, he throws 100 in every scene.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And in a lot of different ways too, like.
Yeah. Yeah, no, definitely. Morgan Freeman, as you said, going back to that one scene, Malt, that you were talking about, where they kill the kid, and Morgan Freeman can't do it, right? Like he's done with it. They kind of built it up the whole way, where, well, as when they're riding in and everything, where I think Morgan Freeman had a little bit of doubt if William Money could actually do it. But when it came time to do the job, William Money's like, yeah, I'm gonna fucking shoot this guy. I'm gonna miss him, but I'm gonna fucking shoot him. Like, we're good, you know? So, I think that was a little bit of a, turnabout there. I also
And
like Morgan.
Ned didn't need, I mean, he had Sally two trees and a fucking field full of corn and all this other bunch of preserves.
Yeah.
He was in good shape. He didn't need the $333 or whatever the fuck it was.
Yeah, he was looking
Exactly.
for the adventure, right? I mean, it
Yeah.
did. I mean, kinda. It seemed that's what it seemed like.
One last hurrah, maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not sure, but I mean, just Morgan Freeman too. I liked a lot of his lines in the movie, or I shouldn't say lines per se, but yeah, lines. Where he's basically testing the Schofield kids, saying, "Oh, you see that hawk up there? I can shoot his eye out." And there's no fucking hawk
Hawk.
there. And then
Right.
I love when he's talking to, he's asking Clint Eastwood basically if he fucking beats off,
Yeah.
right? Like, it's hilarious.
You ever go into town?
And how, like, he was like, Will's down there dying of that cold.
Right.
And he's like itching to get up there and get some of
Yeah.
his, what's it called? Like, advance. Get an
Yeah.
advance.
Get an advance. Yeah. They got a lot of advances.
Let's be honest, man. William Money would be like a really tough hang in the saloon. He's not drinking. All he
Right.
does is talk about his dead wife
Exactly.
and how he's cured of wickedness. It's like,
That's
come
right.
on, man.
Yeah.
Yeah,
Yeah.
it's like, all right,
I
well, I'm just gonna head on
know
upstairs,
this kid 2 days ago was threatening to shoot me, but.
Yeah. Yeah. 100%. So let's move on to a little bit of cinematography, maybe behind the lens, some of Clint Eastwood's direction. It was the movie was shot by Jack Green. It was very bleak and overcast skies, muddy earth, subdued palette. It was very symbolic of the how basically like the romance of the West was drained away, and Eastwood used a lot of negative space, where characters are dwarfed by the landscape and et cetera. And because did you do research on this, right? A little
Yeah,
bit.
a little
Okay.
bit. Again, like I said, like I kind of, I tried to study some videos of people who know more about these terms and things than I do. But like, I there was like, there's this thing called blocking, and I guess it has to do with positions of not just characters, but positions of like articles and items in the scenes and so forth and so on. One that's like that stood out to me like right away on this watch was when Money goes to pick up Ned and tell him about the opportunity to go do this, and there's like this part where Ned is like telling him he ain't going and all this stuff, and he's standing in the doorway in his
Yeah.
house, and the gun is
Yeah.
positioned right over his head,
Yeah.
and it was almost like you knew he was going. I mean, like, I mean, obviously we knew because we've seen the movie, but it was very symbolic of that. The scenes like where he's trying to test out by shooting the coffee can, it's right in our view, and he's just missing and missing and missing. It's almost embarrassing. His kids are embarrassed. The elements were pretty legit. The rainstorms. I think there were two rainstorms in the movie, or no, there was the one rainstorm, but then resulting in Will getting the cold, or the two. And then the I thought, I'll tell you what though, like, and this is, I think it's just so great that Clint Eastwood. I think he's a great actor, and I know he almost plays the same character. It is an argument to be made that he plays the same character in a lot of his movies, whether it be as he got older anyways, whether it be like a Western or a whatever, soft-spoken, kind of gritty, eyes clenched and all that stuff. I mean, did you guys ever see Gran Torino? He did that. That was
Yeah.
a, I thought it was a great movie, with a message. But in this, I'm really complimentary of his directing skills, because like that scene in the jailhouse where, as you mentioned earlier, where little Bill is kind of he's debunking the legend of little of English Bob right to W.W. Beauchamp, and he just he's just laying it on so thick. And in reality, I mean, he is literally explaining all the stories and how they were horseshit. It was so well shot. And then I looked it up a little bit, and apparently, like, Clint Eastwood likes to film the rehearsals, and that was a rehearsal scene.
No.
Like, they were just, that's, I mean, that's what the guy, Sal Rubinek, who played Beauchamp, he said it's almost like it was a way to, like, get them to relax into the moment. And if you know, if they don't think it's on film, they'll, I mean, I'm guessing this is what he means. If they don't think it's on film, they'll, or that it's going to be used, they can kind of absorb into the scene rather than get anxious or stiff or rigid or something like that. And I don't know. It was just, one guy said it was kind of Spielbergian, but I mean, I didn't really, I guess I kind of got that with some of, like, the far away shots and the landscape shots. I thought the way it opened and closed on basically the same scene was pretty kind of, it meant a lot. Like, this is one of those movies. I mean, it was an emotional movie. Like, I was really attached to Ned and Ned's death and Money's reaction to it, of course. And I thought the prologue, and you know, it, and the, I got another one last thing I want to say is the way they opened it with a scroll. That was Eastwood's, I think, idea, because originally it was going to be a voiceover, and I kind of liked this a little bit better. The scroll, the read, where, like, it was almost like it made it kind of, it antiqued the movie a little bit, made it seem older. And also another point of doing that with the, it had an epilogue and a prologue like a book, like a novel. And I think that was, I know that was intentional, and I liked it. I didn't understand why I liked it so much until I looked that up. But anyways, overall, huge fan of Eastwood's directing, and of course the cinematography.
Well, what I had read a couple of things interesting is that, so he is known for, like, if he's not a multiple take guy for the reasons you said, is that he thinks that the earlier in the take, the more natural the react performance is going to be, which I would think what you said with them thinking it's a rehearsal even,
Yeah.
amplifies that. The other thing I heard is that, and I hadn't heard this before, but when Strawberry Mary got the screenplay, it was all in white. And what that means is there were no rewrites. So there's an
Right.
original screenplay, and then if they rewrite scenes, they get a different color. And so it was called like a whiteout or whatever. Because he loved the screenplay so much. And then obviously, like, I noticed the same thing you said with Ned in the doorway. And he's seen, yeah, j just and the gun, the Spencer rifle above him, and then just the setting. So they built the house, or they built the town of Big Whiskey from scratch. It's in Alberta,
Yep.
which is like the most beautiful place I've ever been. And he actually was able to, despite Canadian union laws, bring his entire crew to shoot with him,
Wow.
because Canada respected Clint Eastwood so much. They're like, we're going to waive our, whatever local union laws to mean that, you have to have a freaking newfie as your gaffer or something, but
Yeah.
other than that, I think, yeah, I'm not an expert on any of that blocking stuff, but he I th he also he shot a scene with his mom.
Yeah.
It was like around when English Bob was around at, like, the train station, but he cut it because he's like, it interrupted the flow or whatever.
Interesting.
And I heard that Coppola almost made the movie, but
Really?
didn't think Hollywood was. It was after Godfather and Apocalypse Now, so late 70s. But he's like Hollywood doesn't want to see another Western.
Yeah, it's probably true.
In reference to, in regards rather to what you said about Eastwood's mom, Like he's always seemed so old in this movie and in The Line of Fire and and all that. I was like shocked to know that she was still alive when they filmed it. He was only 62 when they filmed this movie. But apparently he to make it up to her, he took her to the Oscars and like profusely thanked her when he won Best Director and Best Picture. So
Is it weird that I was scared to look up how old he was because I was worried that I'd be close to his age, closer to his age than I thought?
I know, or I'm 62. I used to think was old,
Ain't that bad nowadays.
No, but it was old for then, for sure.
I really don't have much else to say on this part. Getting a little bit into the sound and the score. There's not much to say about that either. Just a little bit. It's not soundtrack and not the score, but just one interesting things. And I think this just goes more about like on the how the film was made. But just all the gunshots echoed, right? And it was like a dull echo. So it's very, very natural. It was bang, 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 bang. It's very, once again, just going back to that anti-violence theme of this film. So, because you got anything on the
Just that,
score?
that I love that Eastwood had like a hands-on with this score, and he actually like composed or co-composed the main theme called Claudia's Theme, that's named after William Money's dead wife, and it's played throughout the movie. It opens and closes the movie. So, he was a jazz pianist in the army. And that's where he actually met the fella, God,
The jazz flute.
Niehaus, who's yeah, right, just carries it with him all the time. But that's where I think that's where he met or heard about the composer. So I don't know, just neat that he had a hand in that as well.
I heard that he almost didn't have any music.
Wow.
And he was like, I need a little bit.
Yeah.
But he wanted it to be quiet, so for like the gunshots would really resonate. Did you all notice, speaking of Claudia, did you notice the photo of her that he was looking at right before he decided to leave?
Yeah, she was not a handsome woman.
I was gonna say, it's like I don't know that she'd cure me of my
No.
wickedness.
I mean,
I feel
she
like
was out
that.
west, right? She's rugged,
And her last name was Feathers. Do we think she may have been
Probably.
like Sally Two Trees?
I don't know.
Probably.
The way they described the mother, being so shocked that he would, she sounded almost aristocratic or noble, not noble, but wealthy from a wealthy family is the way that it sounded to me. The mother was shocked that she would go with him, and she never
Yeah,
understood
and
why.
had the means to visit her grave, in
Yeah.
Kansas from wherever.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, maybe. Do we know where she was from?
I don't
No.
think so, no.
Okay.
I just meant what it. I don't know. But yeah, she was rough.
So, I don't know. Do we have any disagreements on any of this? I mean, I think if anything, I'm the one who's kind of like, eh. Like not eh, it's an okay film. Like it's a really good film. But I don't think we really have any disagreements on it. Any quirky fun facts do you guys have?
So a few things that, I don't know what happened to his son from the pig farm, but that kid had he looked like he should have been surfing somewhere with that hair.
That's true. That's true. Yeah, he did not have any engine in him.
What else?
Well, I actually have a question for you guys. Who's more dangerous, Little Bill or William Money?
I think prior to, obviously prior to the bounty going out, it was Little Bill.
Okay.
Because William was just, I mean, he was the only thing he was dangerous to was to his hogs, by being an incompetent farmer. But I think, I mean, obviously, Will when he's had some liquor in him. Now, the other interesting thing that someone posted, which I think makes sense, is that, because there were, it seemed like Ned obviously, I think there were a couple comments where Ned said he didn't really remember all the killing he did either. They must have just been really drunk all the time.
I think so. Yeah.
Yeah.
Sounds
And
about
like,
right. And I think that like the scene when it's raining, and I think Ned had the bottle of whiskey, and he's like, we're gonna need this to do what we gotta do, or he made some comment like that.
Right.
And then of course he's not drunk and can't do it.
Right.
You
Yeah.
know?
Yeah.
What did you so one thing I thought was funny was talk about a bad combo. Tiny ass penis and the nickname of Quick Mike. It's not
Yeah.
like
Yeah. He's just laughing at a little pecker. Or is his teensy, she didn't call it a pecker, did she? It was teensy. I
Yeah.
don't know. It may have been pecker, but yeah.
And then Ned, when he was after he's talking to Schofield Kid after Will gets his ass kicked, and why did he pull his pistol out? I was like, well, you pulled your pistol right out of that whore and out the window. But there are a bunch of great one-liners. But
Yeah. Yeah.
yeah, I don't know that I. There's nothing that anyone said that I. It's just I think it's just a matter of how much you like it.
I guess the one thing I remember from reading the some trivia about it was the kicking that Gene Hackman did to Richard Harris was real.
Oh,
They just like
really?
they padded him up.
Oh.
Oh.
So, I
Jesus.
mean, yeah.
Did he say Cheyenne when he kicked both of them?
Yeah, he was naming
It,
cities. He's like Cheyenne, and then
it
he
seemed
was
like every
like,
time he said Cheyenne, that's when he did the freaking swift kick to the ribs.
it was Cheyenne. He says Cheyenne, and there was a town like south, Wichita, right?
Yeah.
Wichita, like maybe Wichita was to the head, and Cheyenne was to the ribs or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then little Bill's or English Bob sees little Billy's like, well, I thought you were dead. He's like, so did I. It just turned out I was in Nebraska.
Nebraska. I love how he goes, are you there you go talking about the queen again or the king again on the 4th of July, bam, and he just starts beating him ass. And I was kind of like, hell yeah, you know, at first. And then I was
And then
like,
at the end when he punches him with his hat,
Oh yeah.
great
Yeah.
move.
Yep.
And
So
then I oh sorry, go ahead.
no, I was just gonna say, did anyone else know that John Bull was like derogatory towards Englishmen?
Yeah.
I
Yeah.
did. I did not know that.
A John Bull.
Yeah.
That
Ah,
guy on the
Don Ball. Yeah.
train was so stupid.
He was. He would have got his ass kicked 10 ways to Sunday by so.
Yeah. But I mean, did we like freaking Beauchamp?
No.
I mean, he served his purpose, but
Yeah, he served a purpose. I didn't like him. I mean, here's a guy who he's acting all tough because of who he's hanging out with, but at the same time, when push comes to shove, he's pissing himself,
And
right?
he's how quickly his allegiance has
Oh
shifted too.
yeah,
Oh
yeah, yeah. Pure
And then he
politician.
at the end he loved money. He's like, oh my God.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
He
and
just
yes,
watched little Bill get murdered,
right.
and he was like smiling. Did you know? Oh, that was another thing,
Yeah.
how he was smiling at the end. It's like he was, oh God. I
I think
mean,
he knew he was going to embellish. He had a great scene already,
oh
and once
yeah.
he embellished it for his latest book, he was going to be, you know.
Right.
Yeah.
Yep.
He was an
Yep.
opportunist. Yeah, I didn't like him as a person, but I loved the character just because you could kind of the swarmy person, and he's one of the reasons that the I mean that's this is I mean I'm sure this is obvious, but he's like an embodiment of the reason that the Old West was so glorified and glamorous to people
Correct.
who weren't there. Because the way
Right.
they were describing, English Bob's, exploits, and they were all horse shit, basically.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, the story about the guy with the big dick.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
God, Little
That's
Bill was
right.
great, man.
Yeah. Little Bill was fantastic. Absolutely fantastic.
Yeah,
But,
you're right.
cuz I have a question for you.
Yes.
It's kind of an important one. But going back to when Little Bill was kicking the shit out of him and he's yelling, "Cheyenne, Wichita." Do you think those places have good barbecue? And if they did, what would make that barbecue taste better?
You know, I wonder what the food tasted like in Big Whiskey, because I heard somewhere, and I think this, I'm not sure if this was sarcasm or not, but like, you know, back in the old West, the food was so fucking weird, and you know, sometimes the cuts were so bad they had to add flavor to them just to make them edible. And I obviously that tradition lived on. I mean, now you can smoke, you know, any one of the three of us could smoke a pork butt and it would probably taste just fine with a little bit of seasoning. But we like to add something to it, don't we? And coincidentally, this portion of Automatic Rewind is brought to you by Pandemic Sauce Company. Amidst a worldwide pandemic and lockdown with nothing but time on his hands, a friend of the podcast started experimenting in his kitchen to occupy his time. He soon discovered a knack of combining a variety of fruit juices and peppers to create some unique barbecue sauces. After sharing those sauces with family and friends, he has now decided to share them with the rest of the world and the goal to become your new favorite sauce. That's Pandemic Sauce Company. A good friend, Ron, started that company, and he is reachable at pandemicsaucecompany@gmail.com. Make sure and put Automatic Rewind in the subject line to open the dialogue. Automatic Rewind. That's Pandemic Sauce Company, pandemicsaucecompany@gmail.com. Tell them Little Bill sent you.
So, yeah, tell him Little Bill. Yeah, hopefully Ron
Right.
knows what that means. I don't know if he's seen this movie. Either way, quick PSA, one for this guy, Gus. I had to join everybody, so I'm now drinking bourbon. It's a small batch, so you're welcome.
Outstanding. What are you drinking?
Four Roses, small batch.
Oh, hell yeah. Love
Yeah,
Four Roses.
yeah. And cuz I think you have a PSA as well.
I do. I should have probably announced made this announcement at the beginning, but I like to own up to screw ups. I call them Cousin Bailey's fuck ups. If they're called out by our listeners, and from time to time we have a listener chime in, and one of our loyal listeners reached out with some feedback from our previous episode, the one we did in dedication to Robert Redford, the life of Robert Redford. We did an episode on Spy Game, and I just want to say, first off, the dude who in question who reached out to me has worked in Lebanon before, and was disappointed that we didn't talk about that segment of Spy Game more. He had a lot of comments on that, and he thought that was his favorite part of the movie, and also the trek through war-torn Lebanon to get the breakfast, to get the migas. He thought that, and he thought Brad Pitt's character said that he taught a guy how to make migas, and then he pointed out that I, Cousin Bailey, misnomered Operation Dinner Out as Operation Sideshow, quote, like four times, end quote. So that is my mea culpa to our loyal listeners from that episode.
I don't recall you messing up Dinner Out versus Sideshow.
Well,
But I maybe you did.
maybe I
It's
did.
very like you. But
It's definitely.
we love the critical feedback. Keep it coming.
Absolutely.
We actually do. All right, now back to Unforgiven. So Maude, how do you think this movie plays today? You think it's aged well or eh.
Put my old man hat on. I mean,
Exactly.
like I said earlier, I mean, the more I've watched it, the more I've liked it. It's not. I don't think the youth would be into it. I certainly think the message maybe ages a little bit well, that, you know, violence is just like kind of pervasively bad, and not for, I mean, not only for the people who suffer it directly, but people who witness it, people who perpetrate it. Yeah, I mean, I think it ha it, I mean, it's a universal, has a, yeah, a lot of universal themes. Yeah, the actual plot is pretty easy and straightforward, right?
Right, yeah.
What's most interesting is kind of the layers behind it and the different motivations, like we talked about, you know, each of them thinking they're pursuing justice, but not really, you know. So yeah, I think it's age well. I just It's aged well for me. Whether it has for other people, I don't know. If it hasn't, then I don't know that if that's a good thing. Not for the movie, but for us. But yeah, I mean, I guess that's my thoughts.
Because
Yeah, I agree. I think if people, I mean, it's hard to say with this like this generation, and I mean, I hate to say that we're kind of becoming part of it with the lack of attention span, you know, always on our phones and nonsense like that. This is the kind of movie where you got to fucking put your phone down. You've got to pay attention. It's not that it's so deep you're gonna miss something, but it's got the messages that are very, very important. I mean, there are so many people in this world, and I may have been a little self-deprecating when I said I'd be more like Beauchamp, but I think I'd probably be more like the Schofield kid in the very end when he was lamenting killing that person. And you know, because everybody thinks they could, and I'm sure I could if, you know, push came to shove, if my back was against the wall. But you'd like to think that you'd get over it quickly, but I mean, until I guess it happens, you have to do it more than once. I think the first time is probably pretty brutal on your soul. The line towards the end of the movie, this is before money goes back to whiskey or whatever, big whiskey to, you know, avenge Ned. The little exchange goes, you know, it don't seem real. This is from the Schofield kid. It don't seem real how he ain't ne gonna never breathe again. Now he's dead. And the other one too, all on account of pulling a trigger. And William Money says, "It's a hell of a thing killing a man, taking away all he's got and all he's ever gonna have." And then the next part is important too, but I don't want to belabor that. But I mean, you know, like, and then you know, this, he's saying this as he's pulling whiskey right out of the bottle. You know that he, I don't know, did
Hey,
he? I'm sorry. Go ahead.
no, sorry, go ahead. I didn't mean
I'm
to
just
cut you
wondering,
off.
did he have to drink to get over it, to get the courage to do it all those years, or like to forget it, and now he's drinking to forget it? It's just, or is it just a habit he comes into when killing's a thing? I don't know. It's wild.
Maybe all of that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I truly believe that every person has the ability to kill,
Oh, totally.
but not every person has the ability to live with killing.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly
Yeah.
my point. Yeah. Great call.
Yeah. Well, and the thing about so the two murders, right? They weren't like, so Davy Boy is like pleading. It's a slow drawn out first killing or shooting, I should say, and then his death, and then the other guy is about as vulnerable as you could be, taking a shit and like basically pleading with the guy not to shoot him. You know, it's not like someone's shooting back at you. Not that I would know, but I can imagine it's probably a little bit easier when that's going on than someone pleading for their life in front of you. But yeah, and then yeah, I mean, I think that because you touched on the line of the movie, and then when he ends it with, "We all got it coming, kid," you know.
Yeah, we all got to come to this. Yeah.
But yeah.
Yeah, I don't think it. I'm with you, Malt. Like, I think that this movie holds up for a generation, right? But you're not going to get, my nephews are not going to, or they might watch it, but they're like, what the fuck is this? They're
Yeah.
not going to,
I mean, we
it's not
can't
going to resonate
even
with them.
Go to a Buck game and endure like 15 seconds of silence between each play. There has to be
Right.
some sort of hip hop or disco or rock music pumped in.
Yeah.
There's no silence, there's no marinating on anything.
Right. Yeah. And that's kind of what society's gotten to, right?
Yeah. Scroll, TikTok.
Yeah. Yeah. Immediate satisfaction, immediate gratification, something constant, right? There's no just, you know, it's funny because I'm on my soapbox now. I shouldn't do
Do
this,
it,
but
please.
no, like, right? Like mindfulness, it's this big fucking thing. Who really does mindfulness? Mindfulness just used to be built into the human experience. Be present where you're at.
Yeah.
That's gone. But anyhow, so But no, I like I said, Malt, I think I'm with you on this. And cause you kind of alluded to it as well. Like this is for us, for our generation, older folks. Yeah. I think you get any, a few years younger than us and now it's not hanging around. I do need to make a correction, correct. At least you two. I don't think I actually said it, but I was like, okay, yeah, that's right. It is not Strawberry Mary. It's Strawberry Alice.
Alice, you're that's right.
Alice.
I knew I was wrong when I said it, but I didn't know that. Yeah, Strawberry
Well, you will be.
Alice.
I have Alice in my notes, and I was like, oh, who's Alice? All
Yeah.
right.
Yeah. Strawberry Alice. Yep.
Yeah. Beautiful.
Yeah. Yeah.
My
So,
favorite.
yeah, what are you gonna do?
I guess I should know her name if I'm going to pay for it.
Right.
Or
That's
wait,
true.
no, that's the
Wasn't
opposite.
the was the actress married to Eastwood? Or no?
I don't know. He had a lot. He wasn't he banging the Through Which Way But Loose? I mean, that was much earlier than this, but
He wound up. He was up with Sandra Locke for a while.
yeah, she was in Every Which Way But Loose.
Oh, she. That's her. Okay. She was also in one of the Dirty Harry movies. Oh, fuck it. I can't remember which one, but Frances Fisher was Strawberry Alice. Titanic. Holiday. Holiday. Oh yeah, she was the older aunt. She's great. Huge fan. Sorry, everybody. Watchmen.
So do we
Yeah,
think?
they were together for 5 years.
Hell yeah.
Oh, there it is.
Yeah. Nice
That's
call,
how she
everybody.
got that's how she got
And
cast in this movie.
her child is Clint's daughter.
Oh,
Nice.
very dope.
Francesca.
Yeah.
Hello.
So,
What's that?
legacy and influence. I dare say this, but and I don't agree with it. Is this the last great Western that's been made?
No, I think it ushered in the new era of Westerns. And
Okay.
we mentioned some of them. Deadwood,
Yeah.
the TV series, No Country for Old Men. You mentioned Open Range. Oh, was Open Range? Open Range was after this, right?
Oh yeah. Open
Yeah.
Range was 2000s. Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you think No Men's a Western?
Yes. I think it is. It has Western themes.
It's in
Yeah.
Texas. I
It's
don't
I
know.
mean it's a Western set in the I mean it's in the West, West Texas, but it's set
Right.
in the what is it, early 80s, late 70s?
Late 70s, early 80s.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
I see what you mean by that. I mean, there's some sci-fi movies that are, have Western themes. I don't know if I'd call them Westerns, but that's definitely more of a Western.
Yeah.
Yeah. I see your point. Yeah.
Let's see what Wikipedia calls it.
Okay. I mean, there's the there there was the
Ne
remake.
They call it a neo-Western crime thriller.
No Country for Old Men.
Yeah.
Okay.
310 to Yuma was one. I liked that
Yeah,
a lot.
that's 310 to Yuma. Although that was a remake.
That's true. That's true. I mean,
That was a
you're
remake,
up there.
but
They remade True Grit.
I was just going to bring that up. That was a
Yeah.
remake as well, but that remake may be better than the original.
Yeah.
That was a fucking phenomenal, but it's Coen Brothers. I love Coen Brothers.
I 310 to Yuma, both those movies were really
Yeah.
good, I thought.
Yeah,
Yeah.
310 to Yuma is really good. I think that's probably better than the original as well. But yeah, there's nothing like a good what about the Wild Wild West?
No, I've never
Yeah.
seen it, never will.
Yeah, you're good. You don't need.
Obviously, I liked it, but blah,
I
blah,
like
blah.
the actors who are in it. I don't like the movie at all. Anyhow.
Yeah. The
El
so
Mariachi.
I was yeah,
Desperado.
yeah,
Oh
and Once
yeah.
Upon a Time in Mexico.
Yeah.
The
Yeah.
third trilogy. There's because we're going a little, avant-garde, with some of these titles. I'm just skimming through. Saw a couple. The Legend of Zorro. I don't know, or the Mask of Zorro. I'm just trying to go through some of them. The Quick and the Dead is the movie
Oh,
that I was told
I
by.
love The Quick and the Dead.
All right, well, good, because one of our loyal listeners, I told him we were doing a Western, and he was like, "Quick and the Dead, Quick and the Dead," and I'm like, "No, Unforgiven." He's like, "Oh, that's the best movie ever made." So, or the
Gene
best
Hackman
Western.
kind of plays the same guy. In the Quick and the Dead.
I was excited to watch that until I found out Sharon Stone didn't get naked in it.
Interesting.
She's still fantastic, though. DiCaprio is so young in it, but Russell Crowe.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, so we're kind of going on a tangent talking about other movies.
What this
What?
podcast?
What? So, all right, let's get to
So,
some. Go ahead.
sorry,
Yeah.
I've seen Open Range, I think twice. I loved it, but I
Yes.
can't. It's like about open ranching, right? And there's like a dispute with like
Free grazers.
free grazers. Yeah,
Free
it's
grazers. Yes.
Costner, Robert Duvall.
Correct.
Who's the other guy?
Which one?
I don't know. Is there more other guys? I thought there were like three main stars.
A Brit in it. I can't remember his name, or he's actually Irish. I can't remember his name. He's the villain. There's another guy too who's like the gun hand. The gun hand. And then you have Annette Bening is she's the whatever you want to call her, the lover. But yeah, no, Open Range is great. Also, and I looked this up because I didn't notice it at first with Unforgiven, but I was like, this looks like it was shot in Alberta, just like Open Range was. And it was. I think they only had like one location in common. Otherwise, it was shot in different parts of Alberta.
Yeah.
But yeah, like I think that's a big reason why I like Open Range as well. It's just the backdrop. It's just fucking unbelievable to Alberta. I really do. But yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Scenes, characters.
Oh, man.
All right, we'll go with Cuz since it doesn't sound like Malt's ready for it. He's got internal debate going on, but what do you think? What do you think there, Cuz? Your favorite or not so favorite scenes and characters?
Yeah. Well, the most iconic scene's the ending, but the most gut-wrenching scene, so to speak, sorry, when Davy Boy gets the gut shot,
Yeah.
it tells so much about pretty much every character. I mean, the three main characters, basically. I mean, not the three main characters, the three vigilantes who we're rooting for. Ned, obviously it shows his it's almost like he wanted one more adventure, but when he got to it, he didn't like what he was seeing. He kind of liked the glory of it, not the gore of it. The kid, his eyesight knocked him out of even being a possible, shooter in that. And then money had to put a cap off on the guy, but had the empathy to, kind of be taken by the pleas of Davy Boy. And that kid, I mean, that was brutal. That whole scene was brutal. It was wonderful.
Give me some water, Slim. I'm
Slim,
bleeding.
give him some goddamn water. I'm not gonna shoot.
And when Eastwood or Will's picking the rock and like throwing it down, like little pebbles, because he's just like, can this fucking kid die already and end
Yeah,
this?
right.
They shot David Boy.
They shot David Boy. So that was my favorite scene, obviously, because of the emotion. My favorite character is actually Little Bill. I love Eastwood, for everything he did and everything he's part of it and all that. He'll be forever my favorite cowboy, film cowboy. But Little Bill was so deep, like I couldn't, you could, it's like you can't tell if he's a good guy or a bad guy. And then he does something shitty. Like he's right. Like the boys didn't deserve to get quote unquote killed for what they did. But the way he treated the whores in his town, like whores, of course, but his behavior towards people, he was a lunatic, but he was super deep. I mean, he wanted to build that house. A lot of sympathy for that guy, but obviously I didn't give a shit when he got killed. So, but overall, I mean, and Gene Hackman is a phenomenal actor.
Right.
That was my favorite character.
How about you, Malt?
So, I think I agree Little Bill is my favorite character. I think it's just interesting that I think part of, and this is a theme maybe we didn't touch on that I am not reading. So it's like the sense of justice, especially for the whores who, like, he was gonna whip them, and then
Yeah.
skinny Bulo, or the hell his name was like made the big stink about Delilah being his property, and it's just like, oh, okay, so we're basically like essentially chattel, you know.
Yep.
But I think from the time when they killed Quick Mike and they're back at their hideout, and when, and I know it spans two scenes, or maybe arguably three, when you know, he and when Will and the kid have the discussion about killing the guy. He finds out Ned dies, starts drinking, goes to the saloon. Honestly, that's probably the best 25-minute ending of any movie I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah. Wow.
Like, if it's on, and I'm not really scanning cable anymore, but back, I would never leave when I knew that scene was coming, just because. The great line about hell of a thing killing a man. Then he sees Ned. I mean, the just ridiculousness of putting a sign on him. He's like, they put a sign on him.
Right.
Then he comes in, shoots Skinny. He should have armed him. I mean, that makes me laugh all the fucking time. And then he kills everybody. And then as he's leaving, he's like, if any of you out here, I'll kill you. If you take a shot at me, I'll kill you. I'll kill your wife, kill all your friends, and burn your damn house down. I mean, just dark. But it's interesting because it's like Will is obviously not a great guy. Little Bill has, I think, in his mind, good motives. He does, like we said, but the way they flip it to make it so that he's the villain, and you're rooting for little or for Will to go in and kill all these guys, right? And you know what? If one of the whore catches a stray, who really gives a shit, right? Not that any of them did, but I mean, that's my favorite scene. Least favorite scene. I didn't really get the whole house thing. I understand that he's building a house. And we're supposed to, but like the leaking of the house, I just didn't get that. I liked him telling the stories to Beauchamp, but it's like he could have just done that. I guess maybe bringing Beauchamp back to the house showed how quick Beauchamp could flip.
Yeah.
There's not a lot of fat on this movie, maybe the John Bull, but it did,
Unball.
it introduced English Bob as a sort of a dandy kind of prick. Least favorite character. I mean, probably the Schofield kid, or Sally Two Trees,
Yes.
or Beauchamp. But
Yeah, I mean,
I think Schofield kid and Beauchamp served, and even Sally served a purpose. It's
yeah,
like,
she was foreshadowing what's going to happen.
Right,
Yeah.
right. So there really aren't any bad scenes.
No, I
But
think the
I have
leaking was
another,
her. Sorry.
I have some other one-liners that I can get to later. But yeah, I guess
No,
the ending scene, and I didn't, the house scene was one that I guess you could get rid of for me, but.
go for the one-liners. Let's do it.
Well, he should have armed himself. I loved, oh, this was actually an inside joke, but so I don't know. There was like a stretch when this was on like HBO all the time when my wife and I were living in Naples and she had never really seen it. And she's like, you're watching this again. But when Davy Boy gets killed, and they're like, I can't believe he did it, and then they throw the brick through the window and they go, murdering whores, for like a solid 6 months. Every other day, one of us would just blurt out murder and horrors. And then Delilah's like, I can't believe they did it. And Strawberry Alice says, you really think they came clear up from Kansas to fuck us?
Right. I like that story that guy, that one deputy's talking about, the guy with one arm and he's loading multiple guns. I like that little quick story. It was, he just seemed like he was like just so jovial for a guy with, I guess, one arm, right? He wasn't just wounded, right?
Yeah, he had one arm.
Yeah.
Wait, you got one arm but three guns. I want to make sure I got enough guns. I want to run out of guns.
Yeah, man, you can get killed for not having enough guns.
He just got killed for being in a room with Lil Bill,
Yeah,
or
pretty
with
much.
William Money, I should say.
Yeah.
And when Eastwood was talking about Sally Tree Two Trees, and she's like, she gave me that evil eye. That was like as like animated as he got, you know. But I think that's all I had for scenes. And then the two gun Corky Corcoran was the guy with the big
Oh,
dick.
yeah, that was a good story.
That story was hilarious.
That was really good. It's really good. I think for me, Little Bill, probably my favorite. I kind of like Skinny too. He's just a dick.
Why
He's
did he,
hilarious.
why was he so, such a narc?
I
So
don't
like
know.
if he didn't
Because
say, if he doesn't say anything to Lil Bill, Lil Bill's none the wiser, because I think they passed that ordinance based solely on Skinny telling him that,
it could
right?
be.
Or maybe it had already been there, but
It could be. And the other thing too, like when he becomes an arc and he up, and then at the end of that conversation, he kind of I don't know if he feels like he fucked up or because he just kind of like cuts the conversation off and runs away like a coward a little
he sort
bit.
of tried to backtrack on it. He's like, hey, it probably nothing's gonna happen, you know?
Yeah, that was definitely that was definitely odd.
And like
So
if I mean, and I'm not like a brothel owner, but don't they get a cut?
they do.
So wouldn't he want them working? What does he care if those cowboys get killed? They already gave him his horses.
I know.
And he's just getting, they're trying to make $1,000. He gets whatever percentage of that. He can buy himself another saloon,
Yeah.
open up another, get a real billiard
And Cheyenne.
room. Yeah. That guy had quite a face too on him.
Yeah. No, 100%. I like the Schofield kid. Just didn't like him. Just I don't know why Ned and Will didn't kill him on the ride there. And say, hey, we're just going to split this two ways instead of three ways. Because I feel like that's what murder and psychopaths would do.
There's no honor amongst thieves, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, he probably should have been killed.
I hated that fat cop or whatever he was.
I was just gonna say that. Although like I some of the side characters were kind of didn't really add a ton.
No.
There's like the one I got unarmed guy was cool.
The young guy I didn't like with the good looking one with the tan shirt.
The pussy, yeah.
What about the one Bill coming? It's all I can say. Little Bill coming. Or is it Little Bill gonna be that? I don't know. But
Fatty.
yeah, and favorite scene? It would I think it's when Little Bob or Little Bob English Bob sees Little Bill for the first time. I
Oh.
really like that because you can just see like English Bob's just like fuck,
Yeah, whoops.
like fuck. So yeah, I
Did you
think that
think
scene.
Money recognized English Bob? Because he looked
I
at him.
he looked
He
at him. I
definitely
don't.
registered that there was this guy beat up against the side of a train car.
Right. I don't know because they never to them ever crossing paths,
No, they don't.
you know, and even little Bill, like little Bill didn't, I don't think they ever, he crossed paths with Will. He just
No.
knew of him.
Right.
Yeah.
So, because he would have known him
Well,
as seen
remember little.
fucking fake name.
Do you remember
William
English Bob?
Hendershot.
English Bob mentioned his mustache or his beard or whatever that he shaved off. Remember his chin whiskers he shed. So he they they I think I felt like I thought they knew each other from another life. Because remember he said, "Yeah, I was." I know I've said this before, and it's disgusting, but it's like you taste. I'm tasting my soup, 2 days later or whatever. That's why he shaved. That's not why he shaved, but that was an excuse to shave off whatever facial hair that little Bill had, and English Bob knew that he had had that facial hair.
Well, I know
No,
that. No,
they knew each
they
other
knew
because
each other. I'm
he was
talking
in the
about.
room when Big Dick got killed.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Who are you talking about?
I'm talking
Talk
about
about money.
did money in Little Bill or money in English Bob know one another?
Golly, I'm sorry. I got caught up with all the pronouns these
Way to
days.
follow
Sorry.
along.
And it's hard to keep them track. You got Bill, Will,
Bill,
Will, and Bob. Yeah. Okay. Okay. So we're wondering it. Yeah. No, I don't think that Will and Bill knew each other. And your question was whether or not William Money recognized English Bob. I don't think so. Because, I mean, all those years he said he was so drunk, he barely remembered anything, anyways. He probably saw some guy who had his ass kicked, right? Did you notice, like, as I'm sorry for my little screw up there. Did y'all notice or not notice? Of course you noticed, but like I liked how English Bob turned Cockney and not so debonair when he's getting sent out.
You're
Yeah, I thought
all
that.
bloody savages, you're a bunch of bloody savages.
Right. Yeah. I love it.
All you
Dandy no
whores.
more. Dandy no more.
He's like, I'm glad you immigrated.
That's right.
So is it just me or did Delilah, you knew Delilah liked Will, but it
Yes.
seemed like after he massacres everyone, she really liked him.
Oh,
Like,
yeah. Probably, yeah. He did
she
it for
was like,
her, right? And so on this rewatch, I got to be honest, I had remembered that they like left together, like they ended up together and left.
Oh,
And so he just left and ended up in San Francisco with his kids. Like
really?
what?
Where he prospered in dry goods.
That's right. Yes. Like yeah, I was just like I don't I recalled him and Delilah like I don't know,
That's
but
why it's the inversion of the classic Western.
it's true. This is
He
true.
doesn't ride off with the lass or damsel in distress. He goes home to his
Fucking
shit
kids.
smelling kids.
Yeah. Right. That one's got the fever.
Does Pa
Pa.
kill people?
Not shooting like that. All right. So I think we're in the home stretch here. I'm gonna go over a couple of ratings that from Internet Movie Database as well as Rotten Tomatoes. See what you guys think of it, and then cuz I think you have our room. So to get into it, well actually before that, once again to reiterate, this movie got Oscars. Massive, massive winner. Obviously for good reason. It was a really good movie. But IMDb rating 8.2 out of 10 stars. Rotten Tomatoes, a tomato meter. This is by critics. It was reviewed by 108 critics. It's 96%. That is
Yeah.
massive,
Damn.
massive. And their popcorn meter, which is just hacks like you and me, over 100,000 reviews, 93%. So universe this movie.
Yeah. So, Malt, I did send you our ratings via text. They're a little nuanced and complicated, but I'm just going to quickly go over them for our
Yeah, go over
listeners.
them. Yeah, let's go over them.
So, our rating system from worst to first. All right. So, 1 star Remember, the name of the show is Automatic Rewind. That's a reference to rewinding a movie, a tape, if you will. So one star is we returned it, the movie, to Blockbuster, not rewound. We found it that disgusting. Two stars is we returned the movie to Blockbuster, rewound. Three stars is we returned the movie late and happily incurred late fees. Four stars is we never returned this movie. We just held on to it. And five stars, the FBI loves this one. Not only did we keep the movie, but we copied it and bootlegged it for distribution. So, as you, I don't know, who should we go with first? Should we go with us and let our guests pick last?
I think so. I think so.
All right, Gus, what do you got?
I'm gonna go with late fees. We incurred late fees. I think just yeah, it's three stars. Yes,
Yeah.
correct. Late fees. I mean, maybe we could go four stars. Maybe I kept it 3.5 stars. I think it just for me, it was too slow developing at the. And I didn't like how Eastwood acted in the beginning,
Yeah.
which is probably a third of the movie, a quarter of the movie. So it's Eastwood backing on his rant. Part of it just fuck. I don't like it at all. I understand it. I don't like it. So that's why I'm giving it 3.5.
Nice. Okay, so unfortunately, I am bit by the nostalgia bug watching this movie. I told you all, like, I love the Man with No Name movies, the Fistful of Dollars, a few dollars more, and of course the Good, the Bad, and the Ugly. But not just that, there's another anti-hero movie that I didn't mention earlier on, but called The High Plains Drifter with
Oh,
Clint Eastwood,
love that movie.
where he is basically the devil and comes back and sets the town ablaze literally. In order for the town to get revenge on a crime that they were basically complicit in. And so, but that is an anti-hero movie. He walks in, walks out, movie starts kind of the way it ends. This was a nice tribute to that, obviously with less, insanity. But that's what I mean. Like, I'm a victim of my own nostalgia because had you asked me this before I did my rewatch and all this research, I probably would have said three stars, four stars. But because of that, the feeling, I love Eastwood. I mean, I really do. I think he is just you're. I mean, I know everything you're saying, and I even said he basically plays the same character in a lot of his movies himself, I presume. But I am not only am I keeping this movie, but the FBI is knocking on my door because I am going to copy and distribute this movie. I've given it five
Wow.
biggins. Yeah.
So this is based on how we feel now, because I don't think there's a rating that as my grandma started crying and we had.
I don't think so.
Okay.
Oh my God. The FBI was knocking for a different reason.
So this is one of the dozen movies I own on my Amazon Prime. I try to watch it once a year. So yeah, 5 stars.
Wow.
Love it.
Bootleg. Two fucking bootleggers. Oh
Knock,
man.
knock, knock. Here comes the FBI.
That's right.
I did notice one note that I wrote, kind of interesting tidbit. So the boots that Will Money was wearing were the same boots that Eastwood first wore when he was on Rawhide
Yeah.
Oh wow.
in like the 50s.
Wow.
That's
Yeah.
so cool.
That is pretty good.
That's like a Jordan thing, right?
Yeah.
Well, I think that's pretty much it. Cuz, you got anything else for us, bud?
Well, yeah, I want to thank our sponsor, Pandemic Sauce Company. Don't forget to email Ron, the owner of Pandemic Sauce Company, at pandemicsaucecompany@gmail.com. Put automatic rewind in the subject line to open a dialogue. Don't forget to like, subscribe, rate, follow, share this episode with your family and friends. And if you have any movie suggestions for us to review or, as mentioned earlier, criticisms or, Cousin Bailey fuck-ups, send them to me, Cousin Bailey, at CUZZINBAILEY at gmail.com, or reach out to us on Instagram at Automatic Rewind, all one word, or on X at Gus and Cuz, GUS and ANDCUZ.
Excellent. Well, man, I want to thank you for joining us.
I appreciate y'all having me.
Yeah, it was great. I'm glad you came up with this movie. Is even though I only gave it 3.5 stars, I still really like this movie. Those are my favorite genre. So, big fan. As far as Automatic Rewind is concerned, we released Halloween a couple weeks ago. We got this one coming out when you're, well, you guys will be listening, and then I think we'll be running to another one, right, man?
I think so, man.
Okay. All
That
right.
was very nice. And don't forget to follow, don't forget to like our and like listen to our other podcast, Bourbon Boys. We just
Correct.
released an episode this week, as we do every week during the SEC football season. So
That's right. If you like to get what am I? I'm losing. I can't speak right now. If you like to get winning picks to your SEC games, you should definitely tune in. Or if you just want to hear all the banter on the coaching carousel right now that's going on in the SEC, we talk about that quite a bit. But yeah, for Cousin Bailey, I'm Gus. We out.